Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about internet connectivity. That's something that's near and dear to all of us, you know, especially in this increasingly digitalized and connected world. Mobile data prices and, you know, connectivity, especially with more people sitting and working from home. And even learning from home, connectivity has become a big issue. And for today, we are joined by Calvin Collette, who is the managing director of Supersonic, that is mobile operator MTN South Africa's internet service provider. And they actually have something interesting that they're calling Air Fiber, you know, that they've recently launched. And they actually say that it's going to actually help to actually cut across the digital cost divide. So that's the conversation we're going to be having, and we are happy to be having Calvin joining us for today. Calvin, greetings to you.
Good afternoon, listeners, and Mudiwa, thank you for having me.
I think just a good place for us to start, you know, when we say air fiber, you know, simply because, you know, when we think of fiber, we're used to digging up on the sides of the road and, you know, the cables that go underground. So when you say air fiber, what are we talking about exactly?
So I think that was our entire approach, was to come up with a product that could rival fiber, but then mitigate the sort of slow implementation, trenching up roads, as well as allowing the sort of a low latency connection back to a customer. You know, one of the biggest things, if you're going to talk air fiber, customers want unlimited connection. So they don't want to have to worry about bull shock. They don't want to have to worry about gigs and day data and night data, et cetera, et cetera. They just want a connection that they can install at their homes and then use at whatever time they like, and make sure that it conforms to a high level of connectivity ultimately back to their homes.
And when we're talking air fiber, you know, specifically when it comes to the technology that you guys are using, is it above ground fiber? What are we actually using to connect people?
So I think that's the benefit. It's a completely wireless technology. So it's it runs in the open spectrum, 5.8 gigahertz, so sub-6 spectrum. The benefit is, you know, MTN has a number of own towers. It's got fiber to the towers. So for us to deploy this network, we're leveraging our current assets, which are the towers and the fiber to those towers. So we're able to deploy within 2 to 3 weeks on any of the sites that we choose. So the deployment from an area perspective is very quick, and then a home installation requires, you know, it's pretty similar to a DSTV install. The dish is just a little bit smaller; it's more flat, but the install itself is as simple as a DSTV install. So you're getting that quality from an actual physical install versus a router in your home, just a router in your home, but without having to trench, dig up the roads and so on and so forth. So it kind of ticks all those boxes.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, we are looking at a situation where in the normal course of things, someone would dig some trenches up to your house or your complex, and then you would have, you know, fiber spliced to your apartment or your house, and then, you know, up to a fiber box and then to a router, that type of thing. But in this case, instead of having all of that, there's a small dish that's connected outside of one's house, and then that connects wirelessly to the fibered base stations that you guys have.
Yep, 100% right.
That's actually pretty cool. And then on that end, you know, for the geeks out there, what type of speeds, you know, could we be expecting?
So we're launching packages from as low as 5 megasecond right up to 100 megasecond. All the speeds are asynchronous. So the 100 meg package is 100 meg down and 40 up. The 50 is 50 down and 20 up. The 20 is 20 down and 10 up. And the 5 is, the 10 is 10 down and 5 up. And then the 5 is 5 down and 2 up. So all asynchronous, but write speeds from 5 meg up to 100 meg.
And then when it comes to, I don't know whether I can call it customer segmentation, but when you look at your normal base of customers as supersonic, how does that compare to the market that you are, you know, hoping to go after with the air fiber?
Yeah, I think traditionally it's quite different from the traditional market that we've gone after. You know, your traditional fiber is in your high LSM areas, in your suburbs. We're looking to go peri-urban, secondary towns, and then townships. So we want to go to where there isn't already fiber, where there isn't already decent connectivity. We're trying to make sure that we connect the unconnected, ultimately. You know, the last thing we want to do is go and put this technology up where there is already fiber or other connectivity means. So we're really looking to make sure that all those areas, your secondary towns, your peri-urban, fiber scarce, and townships actually have proper connectivity that they can rely on, that they can play games on, that they can do homeschooling from, they can work at home from, et cetera, et cetera. So we're trying to provide a service to those individuals and not the ones that's already got fiber. So there's no overlap in terms of market segmentation, but this market is very different to what we've traditionally gone after in supersonic.
And then when it comes to the cost, because I'm trying to put on my consumer hat right now and just think about what it takes to set up normal fiber in one's house, how does that compare to what this type of installation that you described as being similar to a DSTV installation, what does that look like?
You know, I think this is where the benefits of running it wirelessly versus having it trenched. You know, I mean, you know, typically we'd have to trench directly into your home. We would have to go through the middle of your garden, through your prized rose bushes or whatever else. and, you know, ultimately it's quite, it's in your face. Whereas this is far simpler. You know, we mount the dish on a wall that's suitable for you. So it doesn't have to be on any specific wall because it does use quite clever non-line of sight technology to connect to the tower. So we can put it in a concealed area, run a cable into your home, and then from your home, you then distribute the Wi-Fi, which is ultimately then how you connect to the internet. But it's a nice, clean install. The dish is about the size of an A4 piece of paper, and also it's a flat panel. So that's the kind of install that you're looking at the home level.
And the other thing I know that, you know, consumers would be interested to know or would be, you know, concerned about is, you know, sometimes if you're on a normal mobile network and it's raining or there's a lot of people on the network, sometimes we experience congestion and all of these issues. How does that compare? Because there is still that element of, you know, wireless connectivity that's involved here.
Yeah, I think the benefit that we've got is that we actually manage. So a tower has four sectors. Each sector can have a maximum of 500 users per sector. So you're talking 2,000 customers per tower. So versus a typical mobile network, LTE, et cetera, where you actually don't know how many customers are connecting at any one time. We actually do know because we're limiting the number of installs for that tower and for that sector. We're also then limiting the number of bandwidth or the amount of bandwidth, should I say, that can be consumed because we know we've sold X amount of 100 megs, X amount of 50 megs, 20s, 10s, etc. So really getting a nice mix of consumers on the base station, but still able to manage the quality of service because we're limiting the number of customers. So we'll never be in a position where suddenly the tower's overloaded because we know how many people we've put on there, and we can balance that load effectively on the tower.
You know, it really does sound like this could be, you know, something that works very well, especially in some of the outlying areas that you mentioned earlier on. Am I correct in maybe saying or assuming that, you know, rural connectivity and, you know, connecting outlying towns has been a bit of a sore point for a lot of South Africans, especially if you aren't in one of the big metros? People complain about, you know, speeds, etc. Because there isn't as much trenching and all of that, does that make the cost of actually getting to some of those areas and maybe a bit better, thereby making the technology more accessible to people in outlying areas.
Yeah, Madiwa, that's pretty much why we started investigating the technology. You know, we started this project in mid-2019, when everyone was talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Now, to a lot of people, that's just a fancy acronym, 4IR. What does it actually mean? You know, and unless you've got proper connectivity and it's ubiquitous across the country, you still have a very small segmented of the population that have access to this. So you can talk 4IR all you like. Unless you're going to actually provide connectivity into those areas, we're not really going to win. So we looked at this and said, how do we bridge this gap? So it's taken us just over 2 years of innovation, investigating technologies, et cetera, to come up with it. So to answer your question in short, this was specifically designed, developed, innovated with that in mind. So as I was saying earlier, it's not to go after the guys already connected in the main fiber areas. It's to go and connect the guys who are not connected in the rural areas. And price was a very big part of that discussion. And at $399, there are not many alternatives that will give you a completely unlimited, unshaped, unthrottled solution for 399 Rand with no upfront costs either.
I think, as we come to sort of the close of this discussion, maybe we can take a step back and zoom out a little bit to get a sense of fixed connectivity, since as Supersonic, that's more the side that you guys are on with fiber, and now with air fiber. How has been the take up of some of the fixed solutions, I guess, in the last year? Because for a long time, people have viewed their phone as being the main device, but recently, one would imagine that fixed connectivity has increased in demand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fixed connectivity has increased exponentially. And to give you an idea in terms of actual numbers, so prior to COVID, I mean, COVID's been a big catalyst for fixed connectivity and specifically for home working, homeschooling, etc. But the average uncapped fiber user on our network used to use about 120 gigs. They're now using close to 250 gigs. So it's almost doubled. And that's one of the benefits of having an unlimited uncapped solution, is that you don't suddenly have bill shock. So you're using the internet for what it was built for. And that's really what we're trying to get across here, is that, they'll always be fixed and they'll always be mobile. It's not one or the other. It's both. You're going to use your mobile when you leave the home, while you're out. You're going to WhatsApp while you're at work, potentially. But when you get home, you're going to offload the mobile onto the Wi-Fi and then run it from there. So you do need both. And I think this just gives you more comfort at home, sort of comfort that your bill is going to be exactly the same every single month, and you're not now going to suddenly have this massive bill because you used to use 120 gigs, now you use 250 gigs as an example.
The days of your 1 gig lasting you the whole month, as we had about 5 or 10 years ago. I remember when I was in university, 1 gig would last you like a really long time, but now you could literally, use that up within a week, maybe 2 weeks. And, that example that you gave about 250 gigs in a single month sort of shows how, consumption has really gone up, for a lot of South Africans. On the last point for us, how are you, feeling about, the future of connectivity in South Africa, firstly? And then secondly, do you anticipate that, because I know this is the big question that, South Africans always have, are we, likely to see, data prices, continuously, going down? Unlimited packages like the one you've just spoken about are still very, quite affordable in South Africa. But do you anticipate that we'll see prices coming down any further?
Yeah, so, I mean, if we talk connectivity in South Africa in general, I think we're one of many solutions that are going to be innovated on, and we have to make sure that every single South African is connected and has the benefits of a modern connected life. It's absolutely a non-negotiable. So this is one step. You know, the various other players are doing aerial fiber and various other things to complement and supplement what we're doing. And then in terms of data prices, I think it's certainly going to come down, and I think there's going to be more bundling of offers. You know, I was saying earlier, you know, you come home and you're offloading that internet that you would typically use now from a mobile network, you're offloading it onto your home network and vice versa. And I think that's an important thing, is that, you know, you still need both, but home is where, and especially with work from home and homeschooling, et cetera, you've got to make sure that your home connectivity is rock solid, because if you don't have that, you're really going to struggle through your average workday. So that's what we're trying to get to, is that your home is connected, and we see over-the-top services in the next while growing significantly. So your streaming services, security services, and so on and so forth are just going to be complementary to your connected home. You know, our fiber or our air fiber or whatever connectivity you have is just going to be the connection to the internet, and all these peripheral services over the top are going to be what really differentiate the user experience.
You know, as you were talking, I just thought of a quick follow-up. This is more a point of curiosity. From your research, or from at least what you guys are seeing on your own network, what are people actually spending their time on the internet doing? And I ask that simply because we make all of these assumptions that people are working, being very productive, you know, or maybe streaming music or watching movies. But, you know, at the actual reality on the ground, is that really what we are all spending our internet, you know, dollars on?
Yeah, I mean, look, we can't see right down to what each individual user is using. We're not allowed to monitor that. But if we monitor protocol levels, it is definitely what we see. I mean, Teams as an example, so Teams, Zoom, and Google Meet, massive increase in that. Your streaming services are massive, and then social media as well. So it's pretty much as expected. It certainly follows that trend. It does. And, you know, with the work from home thing, I think we just got more and more business applications running across that versus just home. And also your times of the day, you know, so prior to COVID, you used to have peaks early in the morning and then a lull during the day and then a peak at 4 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the evening. Now it's pretty much a flat line from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. You know, there isn't any lull anymore. So I think that's a big user behavior change that has happened due to COVID. And I think a lot of people are thinking of the sort of hybrid work from home, work from office models. So we don't see that trend changing too much.
So that's been it. We're with Calvin Collette, who is the managing director of Supersonic, that is MTN South Africa's internet service providers, telling us about Air Fiber, which is a new solution that they have, and they're offering unlimited packages. And he's talking about the fact that this is a big way to help to reduce the cost of internet access, especially in some of the more outlying areas. And, you know, areas where there isn't already, you know, where people aren't already on fiber. And he's just also talking about the fact that they've got really good speeds, and the fact that the work from home and learning from home trends have helped to spur all of these issues. Also ending off talking about the fact that data prices are likely to keep coming down as time goes on, as technologies improve and people continue to use more and more data. An interesting statistic, he was saying that it's very normal, you know, that they've seen that some of the averages are going from about 160, if I remember correct, gigs a month in terms of usage up to, 250 gigs, just showing how much demand has really gone up during this period. So that's been it. Calvin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Always a fascinating discussion when we get to discuss what's happening in terms of the data prices in South Africa. Yes, they've gone down, but there's still a lot more to be done. And also just glad to see, you know, some of this innovation, because anyone who follows what's going on in telecoms in South Africa knows that there's two big issues at the moment that I think, you know, MTN and others are trying to address. The first one being rural connectivity, or connectivity in outlying areas, right? That's the first thing. I think the regulator, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, has been on a big drive to actually get the mobile operators and other internet service providers to be providing more access to people that are not in your metros, such as Durban, Cape Town, Johannesburg, etc. How do we, you know, get more people to have fast internet access? You know, it doesn't help to just say that you have internet access when it's running at less than 1 megabit per second or 1 megabit per second, sorry, right? It, you know, we need those real speeds where people can actually stream, where people can have, you know, the online learning, where people can actually have the streaming of the videos on Zoom, on Teams, you know, Microsoft, you know, Microsoft 360, all of those things that need high speed internet access. And then the second thing is just the data cost prices. Internet access in South Africa, you know, notoriously been a sore point for consumers for a number of years. But on the fiber side, I think it's a nice hybrid that they're doing on the MTN side, you know, sort of marrying the best parts of fiber technology and sort of the wireless connectivity, because in South Africa, unlimited fiber access continues to be the cheapest form of internet access in the country. So if you can bring that cost down and make it more accessible to people, then there's a lot that's being done. What I wait to see is what the take up is going to be in terms of how many people can they actually get to, you know, take up the air fiber, but more importantly, how does it do in rain conditions? How does it actually do in terms of keeping consistent speeds, you know, that type of thing? Are they going to be, you know, hopefully, from what he was saying, doesn't sound like there'll be throttling where they slow down your speeds, but what would the speeds look like over time? We wait to see, but anything that brings down the cost of internet, we're here for it. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.